Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture, with your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection for Monday, November 11th, 2013. Well, 50 years ago this month, one of the world's most important apologists died. Unfortunately, the death of C.S. Lewis, whose classic works include Mere Christianity, The Screwtape Letters, and The Narnia Chronicles, was overshadowed by the assassination of John F. Kennedy, both of whom died on November 22, 1963. This week, Imago is paying homage to this hero of the faith with Remembering C.S. Lewis, of an evening of readings, drama, poetry, panel discussion, and conversation. On the phone with you tonight is the event organizer, Imago Executive Director John Franklin, and Tyndale University Associate Professor of English Elizabeth Davey, who is one of the evening's participants. But before we get to our interview, let's listen to You Bring Us Joy from Jeremy Zyle's Heidelberg, Songs from the Catechism CD, which was a recent Imago project.
You are truly human. You are truly God. You were lifted up to heaven. Your disciples stood and watched. You are not absent from us for a moment. In the presence of your Father, you are pleading our cause. You are human flesh in heaven as a sure pledge for us all, that you will also take us to be with our God into the joy and glory of heaven, into the joy and glory of heaven. You bring us joy and glory from heaven. We await your through whom our Father rules all, into the joy and glory of heaven, into the joy and glory of heaven. You bring us joy and glory from heaven.
And now to our interview with John Franklin and Elizabeth Davey. Good evening, John.
Good evening, Robert.
Good evening, Elizabeth.
Hello.
John, I know this month is the 50th anniversary of C.S. Lewis's death. Was this the main reason for doing the evening, or was there more to it?
Well, it was the main reason. I had thought about this a little bit and said to myself, what's going on in Toronto to remember Lewis? And found that nothing was happening, and so decided that this would be something that Imago could do to celebrate this figure who has been so influential, and that's what the evening is about. I selected the venue accordingly. That Lewis, of course, was in the academic world both at Oxford and Cambridge. And so we're hosting this at Trinity College and working in partnership with them. Trinity College, the Divinity faculty at the University of Toronto.
Well, looking at Lewis and that, I mean, he's often been called the closest thing the evangelical church has to a saint. How has he become so significant within the church?
Well, I think his voice is one that the evangelical community greatly appreciates, both in terms of his commitment to apologetics at a certain level. I mean, he was back in the 50s and 60s, probably the best-known apologist anywhere for the Christian faith, and was widely, widely appreciated within evangelicalism, but also, of course, for his more imaginative work in the Chronicles of Narnia.
And Elizabeth, same question. Why has Lewis become such an influence?
Well, I'm going to speak personally why he's been such an influence to me. And I have observed that people are frequently most attracted to his apologetic works or the Chronicles. And I agree totally with John there. I think possibly for the sensitive intellectual who is in the evangelical world, I think Lewis provides a slight alternative here. And I think the way I came to him, as I was mentioning to you, is I came to him through his work Surprised by Joy, which was his one of his later autobiographies. And then I also came into his works through Till We Have Faces, his adult novel that is so intriguing and so little understood. And I think the key word for me is he gives us permission to think about desire.
Yeah.
And where our desires take us. And in the case of Till We Have Faces, desire is taking us to a painful exploration of what makes us jealous. And then we have layers and layers of illusion that we have to peel away to finally get on track. And that has been intriguing for me.
Well, John, same question to you then. How has Lewis resonated with you?
Well, I like the way he brings together the rational side and the imaginative side of life. I mean, he as much as reason is looms large for him, he does make reference to it in Surprised by Joy as glib and shallow rationalism. It doesn't do enough for us, and I agree with Elizabeth that the desire side of things is hugely important for Lewis and I think for the readers of Lewis, where he invites you into an imaginative world. And I would also say that for him, in many ways, the details and the doctrine of Christianity, though important, they are less important for him than the overall vision of Christianity, which is what really took him up.
Well, and I think that's been one of the things I think that's resonated with a lot of artists. Not only is Lewis famous for the Narnia Chronicles, but some of his other works, the Space Trilogy, which is one of my favorite works, a phenomenal science fiction trilogy that has allegory and illusion, you know, melded more through it than even Narnia does. So in your work with Imago, John, does that whole artistic aspect of Lewis really resonate with people within the artistic community to say, I can create art that doesn't always have to be overtly Christian, but yet still comes and resonates from my Christian perspective?
Well, yes, I think that's very much part of what Lewis modeled and encouraged many in the Christian community to see the value of, that you could actually speak out of the Christian faith in a way that was not, preachy or explicit, but nevertheless carried the deeper truths. And with in this, he's like his good friend Tolkien as well, who did the same thing.
Now, Elizabeth, does that resonate with you in terms, especially when you look at Till We Have Faces, that whole aspect of just creating good art that does have that underlying, that undergirding of faith?
Yeah. If we understand that he said that this book, that myth that he based it on, had been in his heart and mind for 30 years, and it was one of his last works. And it was really kind of a culmination. Because if you look at his earlier Christian work, such as Mere Christianity, when we're saying that he was subtle, sometimes he was, sometimes he wasn't. Sometimes he was definitely very specific about the Christian faith. And so, of course, his wartime talks that became Mere Christianity were very blunt. I just finished teaching that book with a college class, and They had some trouble. They had some trouble with some of his very blatant statements about what he felt Christianity was. So I prefer moving into the more subtle of books such as Tohia Faces, just for that reason, because I do think we come at, if we're able to struggle with the hard questions, we have to come at it more subtly.
Well, one thing we do is that sort of leads to a natural break here. We'll take a quick break and be right back with our guests, Elizabeth Davey and John Franklin. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station.
Nevertheless, nevertheless, without my deserving it at all, out of sheer grace, out of sheer grace, Father, you grant and credit to me the perfect satisfaction, the righteousness and holiness of Christ, because as if I had not sinned against all of your commands, as if I obeyed, as perfect as Christ obeyed you for me. And even though my conscience says that I have sinned, you take these from my hands, because I believe in you, oh Lord, I believe.
Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to I Believe from Jeremy Zile's Heidelberg Songs from the Catechism CD. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to continue our conversation with Tyndale University Associate Professor of English, Elizabeth Davey, and Imago Executive Director, John Franklin. Elizabeth, how did you get involved with this evening of remembering C.S. Lewis?
Well, I have to thank John for that. John called me. We used to teach here together for many years, and he probably has watched that I've been teaching this course since about 1980. I teach a course in Lewis. I teach it every other year. And so I would assume that would be his reason. And maybe particularly he knew of my interest in...
Yeah, indeed so, Elizabeth. I mean, 30 years of teaching Lewis is I think, very significant. And I knew that you could be part of this evening and have some good and interesting things to say.
Now, Elizabeth, you've chosen Till We Have Faces to talk about. It's probably, I think we've already alluded to the fact, it's probably one of Lewis's lesser-known works. Can you sort of give us a little bit of a synopsis of it and sort of what your intention to do at the evening is?
Sure. He's basing the book on the Cupid Psyche myth, and I don't know if you folks know of that. The Cupid Psyche myth, in short, the goddess Venus is jealous of the young daughter Psyche and is going to send her away for punishment. Her son Cupid falls in love with Psyche and takes her away to live with him. The one condition is she can't see his face. And she has two jealous sisters who force the issue and talk Psyche into lighting a lamp, and then the string of punishments that will follow is part of Psyche's story. The interesting thing that Lewis does, well, he does many interesting things, but one of the things he does is he changes the perspective of the story, and instead of telling it from Psyche's point of view or telling it from the omniscient narrator, he tells it from the jealous older sister. And the older sister has to work her way through a long and painful life journey to discover her unacknowledged jealousy of her younger sister Psyche's beauty. Now, as we focus on that, and I've watched students, they get quite preoccupied because Oriole, which is her name, Oriole presents herself as ugly, and she presents herself as with all these deep, passionate needs that is giving her a rationale for her jealousy. But what I'm intrigued with is her desire for beauty. And the book is so beautiful because it's a modern novel that has a peculiarly happy ending when she's made her long journey through all the suffering that she has gone through because of her jealous act. She is surprisingly received by God. She receives grace at the end. And to me, that just is a capstone for everything that Lewis has been trying to say through all the years.
So would you say this is his last novel? Is this one of his last works? Does this sort of encapsulate what his whole belief system has grown into in his own spiritual journey?
I think so. Two words come to mind for me. One is grace and one is transformation.
And so what are you doing with this at the Remembering C.S. Lewis evening?
I'm not sure. I come a little more tentative. I sort of want to hear what the others have to say, and then, I'm quite willing to talk, and I love to talk about it, but...
I can just say, Robert, that Elizabeth will be part of a panel discussion where she can speak to her particular interest regarding Lewis. And after that panel discussion, there'll be an opportunity for question and answer from the audience.
Well, leading into that leads me to the next question is who else is taking part, and what are some of the other elements of the Remembering C.S. Lewis evening?
Well, John Bowen from Wycliffe, who's written a book called The Spirituality of Narnia, is going to say a little bit about Narnia and read from the Narnia Chronicles. We have Frank Falk, who is a producer on CBC Ideas. Very recently, in fact, they aired in October, done two programs on C.S. Lewis and the Inklings. He's going to be part of the panel. And also Jesse Billett, who is on the Divinity faculty at Trinity College and has not expertise in Lewis, but a real interest in Lewis. He'll be part of that panel as well. In addition, we have a brief dramatic performance where someone will play the role of Dorothy Sayers in a kind of dialogue with Lewis around the issue of creativity, about which they differed a little bit. And we have, one or two others who will speak to their interest and the pleasure they take and the influence of Lewis in their personal lives.
Well, as you've been putting this together, have you come up with any challenges that have... with this in terms of trying to put this thing together?
Well, the only challenge is I can't have, all the people I would like to have. There's many, many people out there that I would like to bring into this. But, it's worked actually very well. I think we've got a good roster of folks with a good variety. My hope is that we'll have a good audience and a very... inspiring conversation around Lewis and his influence.
Well, what do you hope that people are going to take away out of this? I mean, there's so many aspects to Lewis. There's the element of him being a Christian apologist. There's the whole aspect you mentioned, the Inklings, and that whole influence that the Inklings have had, you know, with Tolkien and Lewis and yeah. and Barfield all of those. There's his. You know, he was a popular professor. His apologetics and his fiction. There's so much that's so much. How were you able to narrow it down to sort of one or two specific areas
That we will focus on?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
You're asking about whether we simply narrow it down?
Yes.
Yeah. What I'm hoping, Robert, is that each person will bring their particular interest for example, John Bowen is going to talk about the Narnia tales, and Elizabeth has some interest, particularly in Till We Have Faces, and so there will be some of that kind of focus. And I'm hoping the audience too will bring up stuff, maybe like the science fiction trilogy, that will speak to that as well. What I think is the case is that for many people who will be present, that their encounters with Lewis were, well, several years ago. Lots of people are still reading Lewis, of course, but for many, it's going to have been a little bit of their own history and their spiritual journey. And my hope is that one of the things this will do is bring back some of those memories, revisit their appreciation for Lewis, and perhaps inspire them to go again to the works of Lewis.
Well, Elizabeth, John just mentioned, and you're right, John, there are a lot of people that you know, their first connections with Lewis, and especially people of our generation, were back as teens or older children and reading the Narnia Chronicles and building from there. Of course, I grew up in the church in the late 70s, and there was the whole mere Christianity, especially when someone like Charles Colson said that's what brought me to Christ. Mm-hmm. How does Lewis resonate with the students that you're teaching now? Is he sort of seen as this antiquated, you know, gentleman whose ideas are dated, or does is his stuff lasting enough that it resonates with the new generation?
Oh, I think it still does resonate. I think there are lots of things that are really, really exciting for them. I think the Chronicles, of course, see, the generations I'm teaching now are those who, first of all, read the Chronicles. Just almost everyone that's coming into my class has had some familiarity. At least they know the Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe anyway. so many of them have, they've been charmed by that as children, but they're not very aware of the adult Lewis. What I meant by an example of mere Christianity that gives them trouble. I have women students who, you know, they're reading his views on Christian marriage, and they're handling most of it, and then he comes across the issue of headship, and Christian young women who are new to Lewis, they're kind of startled at his sort of curmudgeonly patriarchal perspective, and they're thinking, well, can I really give this book to a non-Christian to introduce them to mere Christianity? So those kinds of questions I never used to have. I used to have different questions when I was teaching this, let's say 20 years ago. At that time, I was getting questions like to drink or not to drink, to smoke or not to smoke, that kind of question. And now that is irrelevant to the students. So now they're different questions that Lewis is raising for them.
Well, that whole element of Lewis and his perspective on women was raised by Philip Pullman and the Golden Compass when that came up a few years ago. Mm. And both with Lewis and Tolkien, I think they have to be seen as men of their time. And there were elements of that society and that time frame that they held on to.
And that's partly what I say too in my response. But these students have particular concern if I'm going to give this book to a non-Christian to introduce them to Christianity, then they have some questions. So that's worth thinking about.
Right. Well, we've just got a few minutes left, but we'll take a really quick break, and then we'll come back and wrap up our conversation with Imago Executive Director John Franklin and Tyndale University Associate Professor of English Elizabeth Davey. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station.
You created us in your own image with your holiness and true righteousness. We fell into sin.
Welcome Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Deliverance from Heidelberg, songs from the Catechism CD, an Imago project by singer-songwriter Jeremy Zeil. I'm your host, Robert White. We're going to finish up our conversation with Elizabeth Davey and John Franklin. Elizabeth, what else are you working on right now?
Well, this term I'm working on surviving. How does that sound? I have a fairly heavy teaching load this term, so research has been on hold for a little while.
Did I read somewhere that you're working on something regarding Margaret Avison?
Margaret Avison was my... I did my doctoral program late, and I did it on her, and she remains affectionately in the back of my mind most of the time. I've lived for years with Lewis in my mind, and now it's expanded, and now this charming elderly poet, charming in her poetry, it feeds my soul.
John, what's next on Imago's agenda?
Well, we're in the process of working on a couple of things for the spring, but I don't have specifics on that yet or dates or anything like that, Robert, but... We did do an event on October the 10th, which worked very well, and Jeremy was part of that, as was Joyce Gladwell, the mother of a very famous son, Malcolm,
yep,
who read from her book, Brown Face, Big Master. And there's some good things that came out of that particular evening. But I've got a couple of things in the planning, but it's too soon to be able to give you specifics.
Great. Well, if people are interested in learning more about the Remembering C.S. Lewis evening, where can they get that information?
Well, they could go to the Imago website, imago-arts.org. Would be a good way to find out a little bit more. We would be pleased for whoever wishes to come and join the conversation.
Great. Well, Elizabeth, John, thank you very much for your time tonight.
Thank you, Robert.
And thank you for listening to Arts Connection today. Thank you to my guests, Elizabeth Davey and John Franklin. And if you miss a broadcast or want to hear it again, look for archive programs on our website at salemministries.ca. And be sure to tune in next week for another look at where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, email robert@salawministries. That's S-E-L-A-W ministries.ca. Or follow us on Twitter at Selaw13, S-E-L-A-W-13. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.
You've been listening to Arts Connection, a production of Selaw Ministries. Be sure to tune in again next Thursday evening at 10, right here on Faith FM.